Welcome to the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast, where we untangle the past, rewrite the present, and reclaim our future. I am your host, Tammy Vincent, and together we will break free from old patterns, heal wounds, and create new narratives. Are you ready to transform the effects of your dysfunctional past into your superpowers? Are you excited to get back in touch with your true, authentic self? If so, then hit subscribe and join me weekly on the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast. Here we will learn from experts as well as experienced thrivers how to turn our trials into smiles while living our most authentic and joyful lives. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Adult Child of Dysfunction. Today, we have with us a special guest, Diane Sorensen, and I'm just going to go ahead and let her jump right in, tell you a little about it, who she is, what she does, and then we're going to start this up. Hey, Diane, happy to have you here.
Thank you, Tammy, so much for having me. That's an honor to be here and get to talk with you and share with your audience. So, hello, everybody. My name is Diane Sorensen, and I am a transformational coach specializing in parenting and relationships. My passion is to break unhealthy generational patterns and outdated cultural beliefs that we get conditioned to, and shift them to more healthy patterns so that our relationships feel good and they work well, right? So that's a little bit about me.
Perfect. So I'm assuming, okay, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and assume that because you do what you do, you grew up with some pretty unhealthy patterns, maybe?
Yes, I did. And I repeated them. And so when my, and we maybe we'll get into this later or not, but when my then 17-year-old daughter went through a mental health crisis that really shook me to my core, I realized that something needed to change. And what I learned was that something was me. It was breaking these patterns that I unconsciously moved, you know, brought forward from my family, which, you know, my parents brought forward from their parents and so forth. So the interesting thing I think about my story is, you know, growing up in a dysfunctional family, it wasn't apparent that it was dysfunctional. You know, there wasn't a lot of fighting. There wasn't, you know, any physical abuse. But what there was it was like harmony at all cost. So, you know, everything was happy all the time, you know, but it was because we were avoiding upset at all costs.
I was just going to say, it sounds like you lived in a whole house full of people pleasers and you just didn't, nobody wanted to rock the boat. So everybody just put on the mask of it's all good. That's what it sounds like.
Yes. And to me, that is the hidden dysfunction, that we are avoiding any kind of upset. And, you know, what we avoid, we create more up. So avoiding the upset created so much more upset, and internally too, right?
Yeah. No, it's the same thing. Like when you tell a lie and, you know, and the lie just gets bigger and bigger, and eventually it's going to blow up on you. So same thing.
Yeah. So I really appreciate your podcast for one thing. You know, it's something people aren't really talking about, right? And I think it's really important to talk about it. And I really appreciate this opportunity to get to talk about dysfunction that may not be apparent. But I think, you know, in general, so many of us were taught to avoid upsetting anybody. And it really leads to, you know, that really comes at a cost. That comes at a cost of really healthy, connected, relationships that feel safe and cultivate trust.
So I'm going to just give me an example for the listeners out there who, I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about, but somebody might be kind of like, well, what is she talking about? Try to give one example of something that would happen when you were, say, a teenager.
Yeah. So I grew up in a household that I learned, and it wasn't because nobody said, no, don't upset anybody. I mean, it was just the messages behind the behavior. And I really got the message of don't say anything ever to upset anyone. Don't do anything ever that's going to upset anyone. And so it was an eggshell environment. I grew up in an eggshell environment and really had to figure out who I had to be to please the people around me and stay out of trouble.
Absolutely. And walking on eggshells is, there's a book, isn't there, called Walking on Eggshells?
I don't know, but it is a trauma-inducing environment.
It is certainly a trauma-inducing environment because you never know what to do. You never know how to react. Your nervous system is so on hyper alert all the time. And it's horribly unproductive for especially a child.
Right. And so what happens then is we end up really abandoning ourselves in childhood to, you know, please everybody else. And then what happens is it creates this anger and resentment, which goes unacknowledged, unprocessed. And that often comes out in mom rage or in rage, you know?
Right.
And so my mom was a yeller. And this is the pattern, right? This is right. What happens. She was also a pleaser. And I call her rage part, her yelling, the big dark shadow. Like, it's not who my mother was. And she was very kind and very always wanted to help other people. So it was really confusing too, because it was like, oh, she's always helping people. She's so kind. But there was this other part that would show up behind closed doors that I called the big dark shadow that would just be explosive. And what I learned to perform then, I was, you know, I did a lot of performance.
Right.
Because really this creates perfectionism.
Right.
And that shows up very differently, but I carry this into my own parenting. And unfortunately, I became their big dark shadow. And it wasn't until, like I said, my daughter went through this mental health crisis that really brought me to my knees that I thought, okay, there something needs to change here. I'm not sure what it is, but maybe it has to do with me and the way I grew up. I don't really know, but that was just a moment of curiosity. And then after that, it seemed like, you know, the universe answers and books starts falling off the shelf and things just right. Come into my life. And I thought, oh, I've got to learn about my children's behavior. I don't understand their behaviors. And I wanted to. And I also at the time was an early childhood teacher. And I could see a lot of behavior, more and more escalating behaviors that were coming into the classroom and seeing parents and children having a lot of conflicts. So I thought, well, okay, I want to understand them. And so I started learning. And what happened was, I started learning about me. It was like, oh man, this is me. And so that really started my personal growth journey, my self-discovery journey, I call it.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the hardest thing. And kudos to you for self-reflecting, because so many people, they don't. they turn the other cheek and they say, well, that's my child. You know, she has the problem. She has this, she has that. And it's the hardest thing in the world to do is to take your part in it.
And I'll tell you, Tammy, it wasn't like this happened and then I'm like, oh, something needs to change. I mean, it did take a while and it was a process. She was a self-harmer and I just could not wrap my head around this and I couldn't understand it. And I was really angry at first, you know, why is she doing this? What are people going to think? And, you know, it took a while for me to really come to, I couldn't ignore it anymore. Right. I couldn't blame somebody else anymore. And so you're right. It's really, really hard to turn that light on ourselves. But once we do, I mean, that's where the growth takes place. And now I would not change this experience just because, you know, all of my own children and, you know, especially my daughter, and then all of the challenging children that were coming into my life at school, all were catalysts for my growth. They were the ones that, you know, I started with my daughter and then these other children, and then, you know, more would come and even more obnoxious behaviors. And I'm like, oh my gosh, now I got to go back to the book and figure this out. And, you know, I really wanted to understand. So they were the catalyst for my growth. And that's, I have also a podcast called Beautiful Behavior. And the reason I named it that was because the beauty in all of this challenging behavior was that it was a catalyst for my growth.
Yep. I'm writing down the name of your podcast. I'm not ignoring you. Beautiful Behavior is the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. I'll have to listen to that.
The interesting thing, Tammy, is, you know, these relationships we're in, a lot of times they are reflecting back to us how we're treating our own self on the inside. So we'll take my daughter, for instance. You know, she was a self-harmer. She was cutting herself. And truth be told, I was doing the same thing on the inside for years, cutting myself down, criticizing myself, you know, abandoning myself to please and prove and gain acceptance from everybody else, and numbing all that with alcohol.
Yeah.
So I was doing a lot to myself on the inside, and it just took a lot on the outside for me to see, okay, there, you know, it took a lot to begin to heal all that. And that once we do that, that puts the function in our dysfunction.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for the generational stuff and giving yourself some grace, first of all. So like I said, it takes a lot to self-reflect. But you got to be kind to yourself. And it's like, going to the simplest terms, I tell people, you know, healthy, happy people don't hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. And that includes how you treat yourself.
Yeah.
So, and it seems so simple, but it's like my kids, I was like, when that bully, he's hurting because happy, healthy people don't hurt people.
So look at it
from a different perspective. Look at it from compassion and empathy. And what is that child going through? And that's what you have to do to yourself. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, give yourself some grace because you didn't know any better. You were raised like that. That's all you knew, period.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I tell people all the time, it's not your fault.
Yep.
This is the way your brain and nervous system got wired. So it's not your fault. And it is our responsibility to work with that now.
And once we're aware
and willing to do that work.
Yeah. I mean, I literally just had this conversation at 4 o'clock. What is it? 5:30 now, with somebody, because we said, you know, the old expression with With awareness comes great responsibility and ultimately choice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's, you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, I learned that the hard way when I was 26, starting on my healing journey and had my first son. And I didn't know about boundaries. All I knew was I was going to be the exact opposite of what my parents were to me. Because I didn't have that silent, hidden in the closet trauma. I had the overt, bam, it's in your face. Mm-hmm. I knew it was wrong. I knew it was dysfunctional. I knew it was hateful and ugly. And I was just going to do the opposite. So in that, yeah, there was a lot of stuff I did wrong. Mm-hmm. I didn't have boundaries. I didn't know how to say no to my kids. I probably overloved them, if you can do that to a child, because I had never been hugged. So, you know, there was, but I learned very quickly I had to give myself grace, because I would drive myself literally crazy if I didn't.
Right. So there could be that underprotective and there could be that overprotective. But I'm so glad you brought up the word boundaries, because that is the path. That is the way. And actually, I am a certified boundary coach, and that is the path to healthy, connected, trusting relationships.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And boundaries in every form.
Yes. Yes. There's all kinds of boundaries: emotional boundaries, mental boundaries, energetic boundaries, physical boundaries, material boundaries, you know. And they're so different than what we tend to think they are. Right. And really, this is my journey from control to connecting. And traditionally, you know, there's a cultural belief that parents are to control their children. And a lot of hurtful things come in the name of controlling your children. And that's why we're having these conversations, right? Yeah. Because we're talking truth. And when we look at boundaries through that lens of control, it kind of becomes another way of control, right? We're just changing words, but we have to change the perception and the mindset too.
Yes. I mean, boundaries are, they're just it's a safety tool for yourself. And it's there to protect your own well-being, to protect your own physical being, to protect what you need to protect. It's not you do this or else. And that's what a lot of people think. It's exactly. It's not like this is my wall and don't cross it.
And it is a process. So I want people to know that if you don't have boundaries, or you have a misconception about boundaries, or, you know, they're confusing, well, you are in the general public.
Right.
Because I didn't have boundaries either. I had control, right? If we don't have, what we have instead of boundaries is control, manipulation, and punishment. And those don't work well in our relationships.
Right.
So boundaries is really the new paradigm. And we can all learn how to have boundaries. It's not as easy as, oh, just have boundaries, just make them up and have that. You know, there's a whole process to it.
Yeah. And I tell people, you know, it's one thing to go, oh, I know that I'm, you know, insecure, and I know this, and I know people walk all over me, and I'm a people pleaser, and I'm just going to set these boundaries. I'm like, slow down. Like, baby steps, you know. First, like, there's a couple steps. First, you need to know what you want, know, like, and accept. And, you know, I mean, there's like, yeah, you're right. It's such a process. And a lot of my clients, I'll just say, just pick something small, something so small. And practice it, and understanding, you know, you need to communicate it, and then you need to actually enforce it. And you, like, there's a whole thing behind
there's a lot about maintaining it to learning the setting of it, and a lot to learning of the maintaining of it. And the reason, one of the biggest reasons we don't have boundaries, or have not been had a model for boundaries, is because of this avoidance of upsetting people. Yep. This avoidance of conflict.
Yep. And it goes back from when you're tiny, tiny, tiny. And I'm picturing, you know, the conversations I've just had in the last week with people. And I can think of, like, so many hundreds of boundaries that were just so blatantly violated with no knowledge, like no concept of, you know, that's not right. That's not normal. it's like, oh, what do you mean they can't talk to me that way? Or what do you mean I can't talk to them that way? And it's just unbelievable that there's.
And sometimes we don't know that saying no to people isn't even an option.
Oh, yeah. I never knew it.
I didn't either.
Nope. Never knew it.
Having some interesting conversations about, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, well, what if you just said no? And they're like, oh, is that an option?
Yeah.
You know, because we learn that in when we're young, that you cannot say no. No is not okay.
Right.
And also our feelings, right? Our feelings don't get validated. We're kind of left to, you know, don't be emotional. Now that's weak or disrespectful. That's a big one, you know, that emotions are disrespectful.
And especially with anger, like that to me is one of the, I mean, anger is there and it serves such a purpose. And it's, you know, it's like, but all your life, you know, and I think back about even some of the most joyous times in my life and happiness was not even allowed. You know, it was like, that's too much. You're too much. Just stop it. Just sit down. Don't laugh. Don't smile. Okay.
So yeah, like, neutral. Be neutral.
Be just be literally. And now it's so funny because I'm like, now I can say to people, just be, but be what you want to be. Don't be what you think everybody else wants you to be. And that's the journey,
right?
I really appreciate you coming on here though, because most of the people that you do deal with have that blatant dysfunction where it is so known and so obvious. And I like this conversation kind of how it's, no, there's all of this that goes behind the scenes that is just patterns, that is just unhealthy, but nobody would ever think, like, you didn't grow up going, well, this is really unhealthy.
I just thought it was. Yeah.
And you know, like you said, there was no fighting. There was no arguing. There was the yelling. Like you said, your mom was a yeller, but there was none of this.
She would yell, but other than that, nobody else could yell.
Right. And now you're looking back at it going, oh, now I see why she yelled, because nobody was allowed to do anything emotional. Right. Like she had to, she was so pent up.
So disconnected, but I had no idea that we were disconnected, but we were so silent. I mean, you couldn't say anything. And so that's been a super big journey for me. And that's really part of the reason why I started my podcast 3 years ago, because I just needed practice on using my voice.
Yeah. And you know, it's so funny. And one of the things I want the listeners out there to understand is that it's scary at first, but the reaction is so often positive. I remember the first time I set a boundary with my husband and I was like, you will not talk to me that way. And it was like, he had this whole new level of respect and awe that I would actually stand up for myself. I wasn't a doormat. And it was, you know, and I'll give someone like, okay, practice this boundary with your child and be prepared, because it could go one of two ways. And I would say 7 out of 10 times they come back and go, wow, that went well. Yeah, of course it did.
The worst case scenario.
We catastrophize everything, because that's what we do, because we have that negative mind going like this. Mm-hmm. And you just assume, you know, and you know what they say about assuming. I don't know, something about an ass, but you know.
Right. You know, we're so afraid that if we set a boundary, that will break our relationships. But actually, the opposite is happening. Not having a boundary is breaking down our relationships.
Because when you have a boundary, if it's violated, or it gives you a chance to connect and talk about it and discover it and resolve it, because I'm sure in your house, absolutely nothing was ever resolved, ever.
Oh no, you just stuff it down.
Just stuff it down.
Stuff it down.
Just never happened.
And here's what I would love to say too. One of the biggest myths about boundaries is that other people cross them. But the truth is, if your boundary is being crossed, it's because you are crossing it. Now, people don't like to hear that, but it is our job to set the boundary and our job to maintain it. And here's the other thing. So people might not like it and they push back. That doesn't mean your boundary's crossed when they push back. It means you now have the job to maintain it.
Right. So the boundary is not crossed until you allow it to be crossed.
Yes.
And that's, you know, and I was trying to explain to someone the other day, if you set a boundary, it is very important that you, first of all, make sure that it's a realistic boundary that you're willing to adhere to. Because if you set it and then they violate it and they push and then you give in, it actually has a more detrimental effect than having never said it at all, because now all they know is, huh, she's pretty easy. I can do this. I just have to work a little harder. So her boundaries really don't mean anything.
Yes, that is such an important point, Tammy, that I, yes, it, you do not set any boundary you're not ready and willing to set and maintain. And it's okay if you're not ready for that yet. You know, again, we start small. And I would like to put in too that it's not our job to manage the response of other people, you know, how other people respond to your truth, because really a boundary is about your truth. And it's not our job to manage their emotional experience about that.
Right.
They are capable of managing that themselves, and they need to.
No. Absolutely. And that just goes back to controlling something you can't control. You can't control how they're going to feel about it or think about it or do about it. So you
can't. And avoiding their upset. Yeah.
Yeah. You cannot wrap your head around that. You know, it's funny. Like I used to, when I was a kid or when my kids were younger, I would do the craziest like threats, because I knew that if I set a boundary, once I started getting good at this whole boundary thing, I needed to set something that I was willing to follow through with. So I would say the most ridiculous things like, okay, if you don't stop, I'm going to literally nail your foot to the floor. Well, obviously I'm not nailing their foot to the floor, but so they were like, ha ha ha, and they would stop out of respect and whatever. But if I said, do it again, and I'm going to take your phone for a month, they were like, because they knew I wasn't kidding. Mm-hmm. So they kind of really quickly learned, okay, that the subtle, like, I'm going to stick a fork in your eye if you do that. Like, obviously I'm not going to do that. So that was like the joking idle threat kind of thing. But I didn't give idle threats when it was something that you could actually follow through with. And they learned very quickly that your word is your word, period.
Yeah. And that brings clarity and trust
mm-hmm.
the relationship, because they know what to expect.
Yep. Absolutely.
And it teaches them how you expect to be treated, right? We have to treat ourselves the way we want. We have to teach people how to treat us. And if we're always crossing our boundaries, that teaches them it's okay. Right? And people will say, well, why did they always ask me to do X, Y, Z?
Because you will.
Because you say yes. And so they see that, oh, she says yes, so let's ask her. It's not, you know.
Yep. Yeah, it's not by accident. It's, and like you said, it's just patterns. If people see that you are, you know, I used to call myself Tammy the doormat. Just go ahead and walk on me. I'm fine. I'm good. Just shake me off. I'll get back. I'll keep going. I'll be there for you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a process though. Like you said, it's not simple.
Yeah.
It's not simple, but it's rewarding. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. It's just like anything. You get more confident.
Building a muscle.
It's building a muscle, yes. Once you do it a couple times and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that worked. Then all of a sudden it's a little easier to set one. It's a little easier to follow through. It definitely takes practice though. And that's why I said, start baby steps. Get in a group and ask someone, you know, be ready for, I always weigh out, okay, these could be my possible reactions. And what am I going to do if?
Right. Yeah, and I think we can both attest to this from being a person who was unboundaried to being a person now who's boundaried. And I continue to, you know, strengthen my boundary muscle too. It is so liberating.
Yeah.
It is so liberating.
Yep. I mean, I can remember a time when I was younger, I literally was working three jobs and I could be working three jobs and going to school and doing whatever else I had to do. And somebody would be like, hey, can you drive me here? And it could be a 3-hour, 4-hour drive. And I'd be like, but I did it because someone needed me. And then finally, you know, when I finally started being like, no, I'm sorry, this is my schedule and this is what I have to do and this is what's on it. And I'm sorry, that just doesn't work right now. And it was, you just felt like you weren't tied down to everybody else. in the world. Yeah.
And you know, you said something earlier in our conversation that I think is really important. And that was learning to be who you are and who you want to be versus being who you think everybody else wants you to be. You know, this, well, what are other people going to think? I mean, I lived by that. What is everybody else going to think? And what do they want me to do? And I'll be that. And here's the thing. When we live that way, you know, when we live before we're a parent, when we live in, you know, I have to be what everybody else wants me to be, which is really denying our own truth.
Right.
We will also deny our children's own truth. Unconsciously, unknowingly, unwittingly, but they will have to fit into our performance.
Yes.
And become who we need them to be seen as a good parent.
Yes. And that is so, I love that you brought that up because it is so important, because I feel like, I guess the best word, taking, if you had to pick three words from my childhood and taking out the abused and neglected, I think one of the biggest things was stifled.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you see it all the time when a kid is happy and gabbering at a restaurant and the parents are like, be quiet. Nobody wants to hear that. Well, maybe they do. And maybe there's a kid's allowed to talk. And I think that's a cultural thing. And it's, I think it's a worldwide cultural thing, which is so crazy. It's every culture, but don't stifle these kids. Like they, because all that's saying is whatever you're thinking, feeling, and doing right now is not right.
Yeah. And it, you know, again, it's not our fault because this has been handed down through centuries of, you know, needing to control your children. But we are in a modern day world now. And we can see, if we look at our world, we can see that this is not effective way to be with our children anymore. In fact, it is at the cost of emotional and mental health and overall well-being.
Exactly. It sure is. I'm actually staying with a friend right now. We're down in South Beach and she's coming home right now. So it's crazy. We're in a better place right now. We're in a better place where people are starting to say, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to be this and that. And that's so important.
Emotional intelligence. We are in the era of evolving now our emotional selves, and that's essential.
So essential. Unbelievable. I love it. And I'd love to have you back on another time too, just to talk about more about the unseen dysfunction, because I know you touched on it, but some of the other, you know what I mean? And really, I mean, obviously we got to the nitty gritty of it, which is the perfectionism and that and stuff like that. But I just feel like so many people will resonate with that because so many people are still in that mindset. Oh, it wasn't bad. My parents didn't hit me. My parents didn't, you know, they weren't alcoholics. I had a wonderful childhood.
We're very loyal to
very, very loyal to the people that took care of us. And, you know, I don't know how many people I talk to that I'll say, well, can you come on, you know, or I'll just talk to and can you come on my podcast? No, my parents are still alive.
Yeah. And, you know, some of it is just, you know, it's buried so far down in our subconscious that sometimes we aren't even aware that, you know, of these patterns that are now informing our life today. And it's hard to say, because I think the habit is there has to be somebody to blame, right?
Right.
And this is not about blame. It's not fault. It just is.
It just is.
And it's allowing, giving ourselves permission to be curious.
And I use that word all the time, and everybody should use that word. Give yourself, don't be judgmental when you have your inner critic talking to you. Don't be mad at it. Don't be judging it. Just question why. Just be curious.
And you know, sometimes people aren't ready for that path, and that's okay too. So we're We're the frontiers here, and we're paving the
change
way.
Makers. We're the change we're the makers. Change.
Yeah, I call myself the pattern disruptor.
Yeah, amen. But I mean, it is, but like you said, it's so generational. It goes, and it's just nobody's fault at all. Everybody did what they thought they had to do at the time, or everybody did the best they thought they could do at the time. Everybody did what they thought was right. So there's, like you said, there's no blame, but let's change it. Let's, and that's why they have you and me and all these other people that talk about it.
It feels so much better.
Mm-hmm. It feels so much better. It is a world of difference. But well, this was fun. I am going to have you back on. I definitely am going to have you back on. But if people want to reach out, I know that you, this is what you do for work. You help people with this. So what's the best place for them to reach you?
So the best place probably would be on my Instagram at Diane Sorensen, DianeSorensen.bb for beautiful behavior.
And I'm going to put all of your links in the, all of your links will be in the show notes too.
Right. So yeah. And all the links are on my Instagram. I do a program just around boundaries, and I have some other programs too. So.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
I'll definitely be sending people to that because everybody needs a boundary lesson.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then I always leave. I love having you on. I'm going to have you back on again because I think this was fun and I could just pick your brain forever. We could talk because I know the audience is resonating. There's nothing they would not resonate with. But if you had to leave everybody with one piece of advice, some words of wisdom or something, just a final word, what would it be?
I would say start taking ownership. Ownership versus blame. Notice when you're blaming somebody else for the way you feel and just notice that. And then maybe see if you can take ownership of, oh, I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling angry because usually it's, we think it's because of what somebody else is doing, but taking ownership of that and just being with that.
Love it. I have not gotten that one in 60 some episodes. I haven't had anybody say to take ownership. I love it. Love it. Great words of advice. Well, thank you so much, Diane, for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tammy. This was really fun.
Very good. And for all the people out there listening, check the show notes out because there'll be lots of freebies. We'll stick them in there. I'm sure she might have something to share with you and check out all the links and come back and see us. Thank you very much. Have a blessed day. Thanks so much for joining me today on the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast. If this episode resonated with you or you think someone else could benefit from what you heard, why not share it with someone you care about? Let's heal from our past and take back control of our lives together. If you're interested in learning more, head on over to www.tammyvincent.com for a free chapter of my book, Surviving Alcoholic Parents. While you're there, be sure to catch my invigorating seminar, Awakening Your Authentic Self. Together, we will rewrite our stories and turn trials into triumphant smiles. Until next time, keep embracing your strength, keep being you, and know that you are more than enough. You are way more than enough right here, right now.